August 16th, 2009. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Brothers and sisters, I ask if you will join me in our call to worship that can be found in your bulletins. As we hear from Zephaniah chapter 3, the Lord your God is with you. God takes great delight in you and rejoices over us with singing. Let us sing. Brothers and sisters, this God of creation, all-powerful, so tremendous that we can't even imagine how great, loves each one of us and cares for each one of us and comes to each one of us and says, "Mercy and peace be yours in abundance." In the same way that God did this, we are called to share this mercy and peace with one another. Please greet those around you.
Good morning. Mark is going to get ready for his class, so I'm going to take over from here, and you're going to do the prayer of confession with me, I hope. Let me see here. Did I turn myself on? I think so. So what I'd like you to do is participate with me in the prayer of confession. We live in a world where there's a lot of temptation around us. The passage of Scripture today will speak of that, and I want to ask you to share some temptations that you see within and around you in this prayer of confession together. So pray with me. Let us be aware of the temptations around and within us. Would you share those that you notice? Money. Food. I didn't catch that one. Patience. Something about love. I didn't hear that one either. Reaching out to love others. Not trusting. How about materialism? Greed. Betrayal. Envy. Wants. So many temptations that surround us. So we pray, Jesus, strengthen us to handle these temptations, and say with me, in your name we pray, amen. Continue on with a promise from Scripture. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And when you are tempted, God will show you a way out so you can endure. And all God's people said, amen. We invite the children to come forward for the youth message.
One. Makes me like a rock star, this, doesn't it? I think I'd get myself in big trouble. Right, this morning, everybody, do you know what's special that's going on in church today? And what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks with a lot of people at church? Anybody know? They're going. They're going to grow some wings on the back of their shoulders, and they're going to fly away from home. There's a whole bunch of kids. Yes. Who? A few north, you think? No. What I'm talking about is, who's going to college in the next couple of weeks? We've got one, two, three, four. There's a whole bunch of kids that mummy and daddies have got to pack them up and send them all off to college. And as you guys aren't going to be here later on, I thought what we would do is something special. Because you guys are as much a part of the church as they are, and everybody's going to be saying goodbye to them for a few months. So I want you guys to help me do that as well. And this one, Lukey remembered earlier, so I hope you guys remember as well. So let's all stand up, and we're going to point our hands out to all the college kids. And if anybody remembers this, I want you to join in with me, okay? Now, I also had my bubble burst this morning because I thought this was Pastor Todd's special. But apparently we have to give credit to a good Irishman, St. Patrick. So we're going to do the benediction that Pastor Todd uses for the college-bound kids. So put your hands up again if you're in college, and all of you pick one. See them all up there? Some of you pick a college kid. Thank you. Now, let's pray for them. Remember for all of you, and you guys think this and send your good prayers for them. The Lord is with you. Anybody remember it? Join in before you prepare your path. That means God's already gone to college and he's got their rooms ready for them and he's got their teachers ready for them. And that is what it means. God's prepared a path for them and being part of this church, they're ready to go. He's behind you to encourage you. So he's going to help make sure they get packed and push them off to college and make sure they get there safely. He's going to be beside them to befriend them. So that when they're at college and a little bit lonely, they'll have God as company. He's going to be above them to watch over them all of the time so that their mums and dads can know that God's there to keep them safe. He's going to be beneath them in troubled times. So when they're sitting there in their dorm room thinking, uh-oh, I've got to get this exam done, he's going to be there. When there's people that maybe we don't want them to be with at college, he's going to be there and he's going to make sure they're looked after. And because of this church and their mums and dads and what else, the VBSs and the church Sunday schools and everything else, he's already within them so that they'll be ready for college now and forever. Amen. That's it. Off to college. Church.
my morning, I wake up to find the power and comfort of God's hand in mine. Season by season, I watch Him amazed in awe of the mystery of His perfect will. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. I can't remember a trial. Trusting His hand, all I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me.
Promise and the strength of God from an aging mother who took my hand just before the service and said, would you pray for my son, Bruce Hartzog, who's going through cancer again? To the college students we send away, he's always been faithful. How will that faithfulness be expressed to you? A few announcements. Most of you got one of these on the way in. If you didn't, they're by the doors. Traveling Light, which is the Gospel of Mark, I believe. Mark, right? Done by Ed Stotz, Jeff Yarnell, and Tanya Meter. Will be done this Friday night, 7:30, right out there in the gazebo. Hope you'll join us. There'll be a free will offering taken to benefit the Hope House and its ministry there. So 7:30. Get one of these on your way out. They're at the back table there, and they're on the ledge right there, okay, if you didn't get one. Then also, a couple other announcements. If you'll turn to page 4 with me, keep in prayer all of those of our folks who are looking for jobs, and be aware, take this list with you to work tomorrow to see if your company has an opening, and it will tell you, you can just email the opening to the office, and we circulate them. On page 5, you'll notice we have a luxury box that's been given by One of our freeholder, Rick Fontana, arranged for our church to get a luxury box. I'm sure legally, completely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But we have this wonderful luxury box that he helped us apply for. And there's less than 10 seats available. You need to sign up today if you want to be part of that game. And page 6, playground rebuild. Our growing preschool is putting in a whole new playground. Look at that and see if you can volunteer and let the office or Pastor Mark know or the preschool office know today or this week if you can help there. And on the very back page, for the last time this Thursday, we're going to do another teen and parent forum. And this time, this week, it's on bullying. So you're invited to that. Actually, we'll probably do the potluck first, but that's Mark's call and not mine, so I don't know that for sure. But that's what we've been doing. So that's what's happening in the church, many things. Now let's turn our attention from the many things to the one person, Jesus Christ, in prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, so many activities and events to pull our attention this way or that way, or so many things to say or do, oh God, so much to do even today, maybe for some of us, and yet there's just one thing that's necessary, and that's to listen to you, to hear what you have to say, to be blessed, to be guided by you, and to have a new perspective as we go out into this week, or some of us as we go away for months to school. And so we pray that you will speak to us now as we listen. In your name we pray, and all God's people said.
One scripture is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 through 23, and may be found in your pew Bibles on page 788 if you care to follow along. Please rise for the scripture reading. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Be seated. Now, our church is about to send, we counted them up, 60 kids either back to college or to college for the first time. Wow, can you imagine that? 60. And we're blessed to have a few of them here this morning. I've been thinking about that. Well, what does that mean? You know, normally, we haven't made much of a deal of that. I guess I never stopped to pause how many we send off to college from our church families in a particular year. But when I did this year, I thought, well, I've got to do something about that. And I guess also it's true that since I watch these kids grow up from elementary on, you know, I feel a special connection. And I guess as I get ready to send my own firstborn to a college visit next fall, I'm thinking about all of this myself. And so it just seems to me that God wants us to make a little bigger deal of it this Sunday. Now, I do that recognizing that over 90% of us aren't going back to college and are pretty glad about that. At least I am. And so I want you to listen to what I say to the few college-bound students that we have today in light of the fact that they're part of our family, and with the question, how does God want us to send them off on their way? All right? So most of what I'll say will be to the college-bound students today, the few of them that are here, but I think that there's something for each of us in whatever our life situation is. But let me address them for once. So, college-bound, right? Those of you that are kids that are going to be someday, the great thing about going to college is freedom, right? No more mother to say, pick up your dirty laundry. No more dad to lecture you on spending money. Less rules. Maybe no curfew. At the 40th anniversary of Woodstock, you know, all of that stuff, you know. And so, you know, maybe to paraphrase Dr. King, free at last, praise God Almighty, huh? You're free at last, right? And we know that freedom has a positive and a negative side to it. On the positive side, the scripture tells us that God gave each human being free will in order to help us come to our own decision to discover God's calling for our lives. And for college students, that calling is not just what you're going to major in. I went into college thinking I wanted to help people. Ended up majoring in psychology, ended up in ministry, thinking a number of detours, thinking maybe I'd be a missionary in Japan first, another. But, you know, not just discovering your major, not just figuring out what your dad wants you to figure out, how to turn that major into something that makes money on the other side of school, but it's also more fundamental than that. It's discovering who you are and what you believe. And that's the foundation for the rest of your life, right? Now, all of us who are post-college here know not only the positive side of the freedom, but the negative side of that freedom. And we think about, we can each come up with different stories where we've seen college kids abuse the freedom that they have, and maybe, if we were honest, could tell you a story or two of our own, right? I'll tell you two. I think about my nephew, Tim, who at Michigan State not too long ago discovered this fermented grain product that you might have heard of before called beer. And Tim will tell us now that he so became enamored with this fermented grain product that some of his college experience evaporated in a haze. As a matter of fact, on graduation day, he was kneeling not in prayer, but in for other reasons, because of how he had abused that, and he regrets that now. And I'll tell you another story of Tammy. I've changed her name because she grew up in this church. Tammy was someone who was very, very involved in the church through high school here. And so she went off to a good secular university, came back. Once in a while, we would touch base, go out to lunch. And just about at the time that she graduated from college, we went out, or just after she graduated from college, we went out to lunch at Lucas Diner, and she said, you know, Pastor Todd, I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but I don't believe in organized religion anymore. I said, oh, why? She said, well, you know, I learned at school how organized religion, you know, mostly causes wars. I said to her, but Tammy, what about not just the, certainly organized religion has started wars, and we need to apologize for that over and over again, but what about all the hospitals we've started, or all the charities we've started, or all the welfare institutions we've started, or just the very concept of human rights, or the concept of Judeo-Christian morality, or the concept of spirituality? No avail. Tammy had lost her faith at school. And so given the fact that there are positive and negative sides of this freedom that you're going to be experiencing and that many of us have already experienced, how can we as your church family send you off to school in a way that maximizes the possibility that you'll discover God's calling, God's special, unique, blessed calling on your life? Well, hopefully we've done it for 18 years in church school or more. And let me try a little bit this morning. First, it starts with Jesus' wisdom right here. But I want to tell you something. I hope you take a religion class at your secular university. And if you do, you'll probably have an experience like, you might have an experience like this, where your professor, Dr. I.B. Leave Little, will stand before you, and if he's talking about this passage, will say, you know what? He'll say, Jesus probably didn't preach what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7, all in one spot, in one sitting or one standing on one day. You'll say, what? You mean Mr. Soski and Mr. Sanford and Pastors Todd and Mark lied to me? And your professor, Dr. I.B. Leave Little, will talk about, yes, there is this mount that oversees the Sea of Galilee. Yes, there is a natural amphitheater. If Jesus stood at the right place, it would thousands could hear him. But then he'll talk about this thing called higher criticism, which looks at the Bible through modern historical scientific lenses and tries to figure out exactly where something happened, exactly what was said, exactly what the time frame was. And so you'll listen to that and you'll say, so the Bible is lying? Not really. Because, you know, that's a certain perspective, right? And Professor Dr. I.B. Leave Little is allowed to say that because he's, you know, only to talk about the scripture through a scientific mindset. But the Bible and the biblical writers are much less concerned with exactly when something happened, exactly where it happened, exactly how, because if the Bible was concerned about that, you would read in the New Testament, well, on June 25, AD 30, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus said. That's what 21st century people like to hear and think about. First century people didn't think or care about that. What the first century writers were concerned about was not the method of how these sayings came together, whether they were said at 17 different times and just collated into this one place, or whether it was 17 different times all in the same place where Matthew just brought them together. They didn't care about that. What they cared about, not the method, but the message. Matter of fact, you want to impress Dr. I.B. Leave Little, you raise your hand and you say, sir, would you tell me how canonical criticism addresses the higher criticism issues that you're raising? And the class will go, ooh, right? And canonical criticism is just a fancy word for what was its message and why did it make it into the Bible? Because this is known as the canon in technical language, right? Canonical criticism gets beyond all those majoring in the minors of where exactly was that said, how was it exactly said, to what was said and what the message is. And I'll give a steak dinner to anyone who raises their hand and asks their professor in a secular university about canonical criticism, because I think it'd be a really fun discussion for you to have, because the major in the message of the Bible, not the minor details. Okay, so what was Jesus trying to say in the Sermon on the Mount or in this part of it? Well, okay, we're looking for Jesus' calling in our lives, and this applies to going to college. It applies to us now, later as adults or younger as kids. It applies at all different stages of life. But how do you discover God's unique calling for your life? It begins with the road less traveled. Think about that. The broad road, the easy way, is the way that everybody takes, right? And if you get along, you get caught up in the road with the crowd that everyone else is going through, you'll find the culture's calling, maybe, or somebody else's calling, but you won't find yours. Because you find yours on the narrow road. And why is the road narrow? Partly because there's only enough room for you and Jesus. Because it's your unique calling in life, beyond your major, beyond your occupation, what you believe and who you are, right? It's interesting that both Tim and Tammy are back in school now with a different major, thinking they've found a new calling for their lives. And I wonder if Tim had spent a little less time with that fermented grain product in college, whether he would have found his unique calling sooner. And I wonder if Tammy had spent a little less time with the politically correct learning of her professor, if she would have found her calling sooner. I don't know. But I'll tell you, you won't find your calling if you follow the crowd. So how do you find Jesus' narrow road? Let me give you a couple of hints. Study more than you party. And I'm not even paying for your education. Extreme living may be more fun, but balanced living is more healthy. Find balance in your life. It's true for all of us, because where our life is out of balance, either physically, mentally, or spiritually, we're not healthy. And then last one, develop your soul as much as your brain and your brawn. I meet so many people with undernourished souls. You know, we Americans have plenty of nourishment for our physical bodies, but we are emaciated oftentimes when it comes to our souls. That's the first thing we do. Find that narrow road. Second, know that, as Jesus said in this passage, that there are false prophets that are trying to lure you and I off our narrow road. I get off my narrow road all the time. All the time. I've got to take a detour back and say, oh man, what was I thinking? A couple of those false prophets. I think about Tim's false prophet. One of the false prophets he met would be spelled with an F. It was this. And he accumulated so much debt with one of these things in college that he was paying for items he didn't want or need years after he graduated. Good thing he got a good job with Boeing. Right? Or I think of Tammy's false prophet spelled with a PhD. Someone who only emphasized in class the bad side of organized religion, and there is that, and who forgot to emphasize the overwhelming positive, like some of the health studies that come out today, how being involved weekly in a spiritual community is so healthy for you. It has the health effects of giving up smoking, lengthens lives, makes people happier. And for some reason, that professor didn't tell her any of that stuff, or she didn't hear it. So both Tim and Tammy ended up on the broad road, lured by their false prophet. And how do you and I know if there's a false prophet trying to lure us off that narrow road for just Jesus and I and you? Well, I think the best way to know that is to decide whether this activity or this event or this person or this product is just fun for the moment, or is this something that's going to nourish our souls for a long time to come? True prophets always nourish our souls for a long time to come. And there's good fruit along the narrow way that nourishes soul and body forever. Lastly, the ultimate goal is to please God through our callings in life. Because at the end of life, the Bible tells us that we're all going to stand before our Maker. And if we stand before our Maker and say, well, Lord, Lord, Did I not get a master's degree from Rutgers? Did I not graduate valedictorian in high school and magna cum laude in college at Rutgers? Lord, Lord, did I not work for a Fortune 500 company? Maybe all of the folks standing behind us in line for Judgment Day, they might go, ooh, and be impressed. But Jesus will yawn. Because that will be life that majors in the minors. The less important stuff. The stuff that the culture says is very important. It's the Broadway. The culture says that's what it's all about. Graduating, making lots of money, graduating high in your class. Yeah, that's good. Of course it's good. But if you and I, at that moment, at that appointment with eternity, are able to stand before the throne and say, Lord, Lord, did I not use my teaching degree to teach in an inner city school? Or did I not use my engineering degree to create green buildings that benefited your creation? Or Lord, Lord, did I not teach that challenging junior high Sunday school class? And then Jesus will smile. Jesus will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I guess if I was to give one sentence of advice going forward, it would be this sentence. Belong to a spiritual, I'd say a Christian group. Most important thing you can do to integrate your faith in life. Belong to a Christian group in order to believe and to behave in healthy ways that will further your life and your calling. Well, North Branch, we've nurtured them for 18, 20 years. Tried to say something this morning. And here we are. It's time for us to send them off. These five or six or seven that are here on behalf of the 60 that are going. And I want to invite, if you're going to college, I want to invite you down here. And if you're a parent of one who would be willing to come up and lay hands on them with me and pray for them, I'm going to invite you to come down too. And why don't you come down now, guys, because I want to show a little Michael W. Smith video just before we pray, all right? So if a parent's willing to come and pray, lay hands on them and pray with, that's great. Otherwise, come down here. This Michael W. Smith video is, you know what? We probably could all just stand down here and watch it first, and then we'll go up there. How about that? That's a little better. This Michael W. Smith video is really about giving your kids away to marriage, really. And so it's not quite exactly what we're about, but it's close enough. It gets the theme out there. So enjoy it with me, just as a prelude to our prayer. Stand out here with you. We'll get that sound up. There we go.
Tomorrow turned to yesterday, and I don't know how. Tell me what can stop this river of tears. It's been building up for years, for this moment now. Here I stand, arms open wide. I've held you close, kept you safe till you could fly. Tell me where the road ahead is gonna bend, and how to harness up the wind, and how to say goodbye. Tell me why does following your dreams take you far away from me? And I knew that it would. Tell me how to fill the space you left behind. held you close, kept you safe till you could fly. Tell me where the road ahead is gonna bend, and how to harness up the wind, and how to say goodbye.
Well, I hope you're not getting married yet, but if you guys would get it here, and we parents, and so we'll come around you and lay our hands on you and just pray God's blessing for where you go and what you're going to do. Hey, why don't you guys, yeah, that's good. Parents can get, you're good. So parents can get in there. You want to get in by Jenny, I bet, Paul. And I'll just put my hands back here kind of and say a prayer for you. Let us pray. God, you give us many happy hellos and many sad goodbyes and many mixtures in between. And I pray that this group, as they go for their happy hellos at school, that they'll also know that our prayers go with them, and that we pray a blessing on them for safety. We pray a blessing on them for good roommates. As Dave already applied St. Patrick's benediction to that, we pray for a blessing on them for good friends. We pray that they'll be able to find a good Christian group that will nourish their soul as well as their mind and their bodies, oh God. And I pray that you would always remind us as a church family to pray for these folks and for the 60 that they represent all through our congregation. Lord, bless them. The congregation, will you reach your hand out to them and say with me, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, thank you. Oh, there are tissues someplace. But I didn't think of making them readily available. All right, Don. And you know, now Mel gets to sing after all of this emotion. She gets to turn around and sing. We will continue to pray. So as God has is being a blessing to them through us, not only through 18, 20 years, but now in the days and months to come, let us give our offerings to God. Thankful to God for all the blessings and the protection he'll give. And Mel, would you sing on top of all that for us? Thank you. Thank you, God, for how so many of these that are going away for college have used their gifts to bless us, whether it's through lecturing or whether it's through singing, as Mel just did, or whether it's through children's messages or whether it's working in some other way. We thank you and we pray that you'll continue to bless their studies and their gifts to use them for you. And, oh, God, we're reminded that all of us have gifts and all of us have can be channels of your blessing. And so we give ourselves to be that this week with all the people we meet, including our family and our neighbors. And we pray that you would use us too. In your name we pray, and all God's people say. You may be seated. I believe the last song is another Michael W. Smith song, right? After we pray. Friends, you may know it, you may not know it, but it's a great send-off song for all of us. And if you don't know it, you'll learn it. But let us pray, and please give your thanksgivings and your concerns that God might bless many through us and be blessed through our thanksgivings. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for the freedom to live in this country. We're thankful that we're not born, or I'm thankful I'm not born in Afghanistan, where I might fear the Taliban at this moment, or other tribal leaders who are corrupt or might break down the doors here or whatever. Well, God, and we remember those who are struggling for freedom and justice all over the world, and we ask that education you've given all of us and those talents you've given us might be used, that even through this prayer, that people around the world might be freed and might be blessed. And we thank you for our troops, and we remember them as well there. And we're thankful for those that supported the 4-H market lamb sale that raised over $3,000 for local charities and scholarships. And we're thankful for being alive and well and my mother's strength and my father here today from Matt. Oh, God, and we lift other thanksgivings to you. Hear us as we thank you for a new family moving into to a Sunrise House. thankful that Nancy's niece is doing better, though she's still in intensive care. And God, we bring before you concerns. We think about Bruce Hartzog's recurrence of cancer. Be with him. Give them a good weekend up at the cottage today. Be with his loved ones. Give them strength as we pray for you to be faithful to them again and to, if it be your will again, heal and strengthen again, O God. We pray for strength spiritually to follow the most blessed path. And help us all not to be greedy and judge ourselves, not according to others, but according to your will. We pray for neighborhood problems that have been ongoing, for invasion of privacy, which looks like will have to be resolved in the courts. We pray for Lorene Tollin's new 4-day grandbaby, Joanna, in the hospital in distress. We pray for a sister, Carol, whose cancer has returned. Oh God, and we add other concerns to this prayer. Hear us as we ask you for prayers for Marie Hunter as she continues her treatment. Prayers for Thomas and his family. Pray for the caregiver whose car broke down on the way to work and the care receiver for whom that complicates the day. And Jesus, we combine all of these prayers with that great prayer that you taught us not only, but that you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hearts in big and small ways. Don't you appreciate Brian's ability to lead us in voice and in music and in new songs that we can learn by the last verse and all of that? Thank you for that gift. And take the hand of the person next to you. And know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, that Jesus goes with you. Before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people say.
You have been listening to a production of the North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. To connect with us online, visit nbrc.com. Thanks for listening.